McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football. This is the Sunday Rub.
Fareem hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Early start today. We're at Etihad Stadium for the big one. It is St Kilda, and they are playing the in-form GWS at the moment. We're looking forward to this. Two young teams going head-to-head. Find out a little bit more about GWS and where they're placed, and also the Saints on the improve, although not necessarily in the win column just yet. They need to improve that. For McDonald's, Triple M rocking football, Sunday afternoon, the full team is here. Wayne Swass is here. Wayne Carey is here. Jay ZJ Clark is with us. Michael Roberts is with us. And Ash the Chew Man also with us today. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome, Swatter.
Hello, BT. I reckon 18 months ago, 2 years ago, you'd think St Kilda Giants, not much to look forward to. But I'm actually really looking forward to this game of footy, Duck. I think two teams on the improve. I think that the Giants are a bit in front of the Saints, but Saints disappointing last week, narrow loss to the Hawks.
Ash, what I'd prefer to be outside of the botanical gardens, to be honest with you. It's a beautiful, no, I'm only joking. Boys, listeners, it's a beautiful day outside. You wouldn't know sitting in here. Why is the roof closed?
TV purposes, light and shade, so get the contrast.
I totally agree with you, Schwader. I think this is an intriguing contest. We're going to find out, we know St Kilda's in good form. They flogged Collingwood, very competitive last week. But we're going to find out a lot about GWS and whether they've grown in their maturity and development as a team.
Both of you guys, the double header today, so we'll be looking that you really put in this first game as well. There'll be no slacking off early on, I wouldn't have thought. Jay-Z Clark, all over the latest in news, and I know tickling your fancy right at the moment, Jay-Z, is the game from last night, particularly Port Adelaide. A lot of aspects to what happened in Adelaide last night.
Well, when they got belted by GWS by 80-odd points a couple of weeks ago, you expected a fierce response from Ken Hinckley's men. But now, after being really handed a lesson from Geelong last night, you have to wonder where this footy club is at, because we've talked a lot about Richmond and Collingwood, and are they the most disappointing side so far this year? Wayne Carey, that has to be Port Adelaide after last night.
Yes, I think their form, and it started a few weeks ago when they got flogged by Adelaide, and then I thought the way they played against Essendon was not good at all. So I agree. I think they've been equal to the most disappointing teams.
Disgraceful, insipid, terrible were words that Kosh used last week on the back of their loss. Pre-game last night, courtesy of Channel 7, this is what David Kosh, the chairman, had to say.
As I said to Trav and the playing group during the week and the coaching group, I praise you guys constantly, but everyone in this organisation is accountable. And when there is an lack of effort like that, then we're not going to hide behind it. We're not going to shirk it. We're not going to sugarcoat it at all.
If they didn't like it, what would you say to them?
Sort of my message is, Harden, this is a professional football organisation playing in a professional league. We as a club and a supporter group do not deserve what we got last week.
That was only half of what he said. He said a number of other... He obviously said, toughen up, as he said then. We did not play in the Port Adelaide way the week before. The footy department had been given access to $6 million extra dollars, so they've got everything they needed. He was really putting it on the footy department.
So do you disagree with it, BT?
No, I don't. I
don't have a problem with it.
Would step into that field.
But I don't have a problem with it. I'm assuming there are people, and I can tell by your tone and your facetiousness that you think that him being in the position he's in and not necessarily a football person as such shouldn't be making those comments.
I think there's a line that you shouldn't cross.
And you think he's crossed it?
I think maybe he's crossed it.
In what regard?
Well, just in labelling the footy club and boning the footy club, if you like. Pointing them out, putting them out there to say, well, hey, listen, we're all watching tonight. We've given you $6 million. Toughen up, harden up. You're not playing the Port Adelaide way, which are probably true things, but I'm just not sure whether we need to hear that from... I'd rather hear that from Kenny.
Well, the former Hawthorn president wasn't afraid to rattle the cage various times, was he?
I don't mind it. He's the main man, and he's... he's passionate about his footy club, and he's putting everyone, I guess, he's putting everyone
what,
on notice.
What happened in the press conference after the game? Was Ken Hinckley surprised to hear what had been said pre-game? Because he wouldn't have known during the game.
Well, he put everyone on notice afterwards. He said that he's going to look to the Sandful today and look for some strong performances, because some big names, Robbie Gray didn't play that well, Hamish Harlett didn't have a great game. You know, he's saying that everyone from the top level of this side is now vulnerable. Their spot is up for grabs. I mean, Port Adelaide have won 18, lost 18 since round 13, 2014. Remember, they got within a kick of Hawthorn in that preliminary final, nearly got into a grand final. So, was that just one out of the box, or are we overrating them? I mean,
something going on there at the moment. Have a listen to this. This is Ken Hinckley in his presser after the game.
Basically, we know what's wrong. We know that, you know, you can't lose at the contest as badly as we've been losing and expect to be able to win. Our contest inside is ineffective at the moment. When under real pressure, it's breaking down, so we understand that. And then our ability to use the ball with that same pressure is causing us some great concerns.
Basically saying he knows what the problem is. Is that just so that he looks like he's in total control and knows what's going on, knows how to fix it, rather than saying, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. We've got to find something here. You know, coach would normally not tell you
so
their weaknesses. Yeah. Because if he is speaking truthfully, which I suspect he probably is, then now every team in the competition, their weaknesses have been highlighted significantly by the coach.
I think their weaknesses have been highlighted over the last 18 months, have they not, by opposition players? I mean, if the club has been, if the football department has been given an extra $6 million, it's hard for us to sit there and say exactly what's going on. But clearly with an additional injection of revenue, it's more than just your players. It's more than just your list. It's more than just your better players not playing good footy at the moment. There's got to be other systemic issues within the organisation.
I'll put this to you all. Please respond. Something's going on. It's got nothing to do with the footy. Something is going on.
What do you mean?
The players look like they're really trying individually, having a crack, okay, individually. But then when you join them together as a team and gel them, that's not working. So there's a disconnect between team and individual. There's something going on. It's just not right. It hasn't got the right feel, hasn't got the right look about it.
You're suggesting
even though their first quarter last night was really good.
Yeah.
But after that, evaporated.
That contradicts your argument, because you can't have a first quarter where you play good footy and then all of a sudden there's disconnect for the next three BT.
Well, you could.
Clearly there's issues in how they're playing. There's no question about that. But you can't have a good quarter and then three bad quarters or you know, a good half and then a bad half. If the simple facts are, from an outsider looking in, we don't know everything, but we look from afar and we give our opinions from afar. To me, it looks they haven't had a plan B swatter. Mm-hmm. That's the big highlight for me, that they play the same way. Teams have worked them out. You don't allow them to get the ball on the inside. You don't allow them to do certain things, and everything else breaks down. That's their weakness.
So they've kept going back to their 2014 plan, yet the competition has changed. Teams have improved, and if you look at Hawthorn, they continue to evolve their game.
They just do
slightly
better
every
they've,
year.
The teams are playing like Port Adelaide did a couple of years ago. They're just doing it better.
So they run hard the other way, Duck. So they run hard offensively. The question mark for me is the defensive transition.
Their midfield is a non-tackling midfield.
And you also, you know, we've been saying it every week now. It's just that you have to have those elite kicks and you have to hit your targets. I don't think they've got that at the moment.
What did you make of the fracas between Coach and Hartlett on the quarter time after the little mini fracas?
We took a couple of steps towards him, had a couple of choice words. Remember, Brad Scott had a go at Tommy Rockliffe, and I think he was sanctioned by the AFL at the time, but I think there wasn't enough of an incident for all them to come down on him. It was just a couple of steps towards him and a couple of words.
He controlled himself pretty well, Chris Scott, last night, didn't he? Had a couple of words and then realised the situation and walked away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it was of a level enough for him to get any trouble. But what about Patrick Dangerfield last night, BT? Was that unfair what Port Adelaide did then in terms of the roughhouse treatment? They targeted him, didn't they?
Not that one particular incident, but they definitely targeted him in the first quarter, and they did it all legitimately, and they just banged and crashed and doubled and tripled him whenever they could, and pushed him off the line, bumped into him. They did everything they could to try and upset him. He had four or five touches in the first quarter, wasn't his best. But I tell you what, the response after quarter time for Patrick Dangerfield was electric. He had the last laugh in the end. They tried, and he was just too good.
And Selwood too. So he was probably pretty down last year, would you say, Duck?
But yeah, probably his worst year since he started playing. I mean, he came into the competition and has had a great career right through. And I think for the first time I saw in Joel some frustration when he was tagged and some, you know, and I think that's affected his form. He obviously was carrying injuries and stuff as well. But he was pretty good last night.
What else did you pick up out of that game, Jay-Z? Was there another?
Well, it was the physicality, really, early. You know, Port Adelaide going after Dangerfield and Geelong flying the flag at that quarter-time break. And there'll be obviously a lot of fines from the AFL. It was a huge melee. Do you think, did they do the right thing there, boys, in terms of the Cats sticking up for Dangerfield, making a bit of a statement there? Did we like the response?
Well, the response was they stuck up for him, and then more importantly, they then won the footy game. Mm. And that's what you do. It's how you, you know, it's how you respond after that, and how you attack the footy. And that's,
it was a brilliant,
that was a great response.
Response. Mm. Yep. Yeah.
Just the one MRP issue from it. And Beatsy, you probably had a pretty good view of this when Trengove and Selwood were scuffling on that back flank, and then Trengove seemed to give him a bit of an 8-inch sort of whack.
Yep.
Now intentional, high contact, low impact, 1 week for Trengove.
Yeah, possibly. The only thing that's going to help him out and get him off, it was a very long-distance view of what was going on. It looked like he made contact with the head with the fist, but it was a long way away. That could help him, but probably a week.
48-point win to the Cats last night at the Adelaide Oval. For Ream Hot Water Heaters, this is the Sunday Rub. Ducks here, Jay-Z, Swatter BT, Mickey Roberts, the Saints and the Giants. And last night, our man Bristle called it Channel 7. It was a big stinker quarter time. Let's take a break for McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
That was a huge miss. What an entertaining quarter of football. And a little bit of action here just at the end of this quarter. Patrick Dangerfield has been hammered from pillar to post. And even gets one after the siren. And it's still going on here. Josh Caddy here is wanting to take it to another level. And it erupts again. Little spot fires everywhere here at the moment. O'Shea with some jumperies. A lot of feeling in this.
Oh, it's on again.
And it's on again at ground level.
Here they go. Ruggles.
Boy, look at him go here. Gregson's throwing a couple. Trengove's gone in. All the heavies are there.
Let's bring it back to Victoria, the Western Bulldogs. Jay-Z, did you go to that game? Or did
I
you
did,
watch it?
Yeah, I was here for the Herald Sun. They're covering it midway through that first quarter when Matthew Suckling hurt his knee and he hobbled off.
On the top of Murphy and Johansson.
All of Etihad Stadium sort of drew their breath and you thought, surely the Bulldogs can't do another serious injury to another gun-running defender. He tried to come back out in the second quarter but then missed the whole second half. But a question mark whether he's going to play against North Melbourne in the top of the table clash on Friday night. But when you saw it, you just wondered whether the Bulldogs have broken a mirror, killed some black cats, or done something, because it's just been a shocking run.
And all of their best users, all of their best runners are the ones that have copping the injury. In fact, their best attribute is their halfback running.
Well, that's absolutely right. The spot on the key part of their game plan, that attacking run from halfback flank. Mm. But I thought, Schwatter, and you called the game, it was Morris and Boyd, a couple of old stages, who really shored things up across there in that back line after a shoddy start, helped get things back on track.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, they've been good the last couple of weeks, the two older players. But it's a different Bulldogs outfit because BT's right. You take off the run of Murphy and Johansson, and this is a different outfit. Deserved win in the end and really quite comfortable. But
so have they got any more troops to cover this? I mean, they can't keep
finding
troops.
Well, you get
Easton
Wood back in, but you don't have that blistering game-opening speed of Johannes and the creativity of Murphy.
And you can close one down, but you can't close three down.
Yep.
Do you know what's been one of the most interesting things for me? Sorry, Duck. Is Tom Liberatore is not really playing as an on-baller anymore. He's playing as an outside midfielder. Last night he went to the forward flank, back flank. Remember he won their best and fairest a couple of years ago exclusively as an on-baller. Now he's playing as an outside midfielder. It hasn't had a lot of attention, but he's playing such a different role.
Yeah, he is, but also think that part of that is the fact that they're also getting Jake Stringer to go into the midfield, so that pushes a midfielder out.
Yep.
So Mickey Roberts was at the game last night for Triple M Football as well. You happened to be sitting alongside Suckling when he was on the bike, and after they determined he wouldn't go on, Robbo, you had a brief conversation over the glass with him. How was he feeling?
I had a couple of conversations, BT. It happened right in front of us, and we actually thought it was an ACL, and he did as well. And he's sitting on the bike, and I'm standing. He was in the race, and I'm standing against the glass as though I'm standing at a bar having a chat to him. Quite extraordinary, the access we had. And I said, "Did you think you did your ACL?" And he said, "Yep, I thought I'd done it." Oh. And the pain in his face, it was extraordinary. He said, I'd already lost a grand final 2013 with a reconstruction. So he'd gone through that whole process, and he just thought he'd done it. So it's the medial side, and he's tweaked his ankle as well. And the ankle's a real concern, BT. He got a double whammy.
Not good. Anyway, it looks like a
medial strain of his right knee.
Moderate.
I think Luke Beveridge last night said he tweaked it or nicked it. But he said, Luke Beveridge said that the ankle was actually worse, and that's why they didn't put him back on. Now, as Mickey Roberts just explained, with that dual blow, I cannot see him playing on Friday night with a shorter break against the Kangaroos.
The access that I've had with this bloke has been unbelievable. I'm actually sitting next to him on an exercise bike. Let's go through the conversation. Did you think you did your ACL? Yes, I did. It cost me a 2013 grand final. I said, did you find it strange that they put you back out on the ground? Yes, I did. And what was it like? It wasn't good out there. So they heavily strapped the medial ligament. I said, are you going to be okay for next week? And he said, don't know. Probably have to have a scan, but I've tweaked it.
All right, Robbo just doubling up on his work there and doubling the airtime, which
it
is
was
always
good,
handy for Robbo. Very nice work. All right, moving on from Suckling. Other than that, the Dogs are moving along nicely. 4-1 with wins against Fremantle, St Kilda, Carlton and Brisbane. They play North and Adelaide over the next 2 weeks, the Western Bulldogs. How are they going to go, Duck?
Oh, look, it's... sorry, what was that, BT? What was it?
North and Bulldogs. North and Adelaide over the next 2 weeks.
I was doing
the Dogs
some
play.
Research on some other stuff.
All right, North has got to stop.
The Bulldogs play North and Adelaide. Well, it's going to be difficult. Obviously, they've got the Kangaroos here who play this ground very well. And Adelaide, well, I saw Adelaide firsthand on Friday night, BT. They were superb. They are a good football team. Unlucky to lose that one. So they've got a tough 2 weeks.
Are they here for the long haul, Adelaide, do you think? Or
what are you laughing at, Schmotter?
Nothing at all. Fellas, Marcus Bontempelli, last night almost played full forward. This is how extraordinary his versatility is. So we've seen him play as a non-baller a lot. With Tom Boyd out of the team, Schmotter, Marcus Bontempelli kicked the 2 goals late in that second quarter that basically broke the game open. How amazing is it to be able to play a non-baller out of the goal square as a 194-centimetre full forward?
Yeah, but Freo can roll Nate Fife forward as well. It's a modern-day midfielder that just has that versatility. And it's a really good point you make, because you look at him sitting next to a Tommy Campbell. Tommy Campbell played really well last night, but he's a behemoth of a man. Mm. When you look at Marcus Bontempelli, if you don't know his background and you've never seen him play before, you think, geez, he's a really well-built, nice centre-half forward
going
type.
Forward.
That's just the modern-day midfielder, and they've got that flexibility to roll a player like that forward.
Just on Tommy Campbell, handed it to Steph Martin last night. Remember, he got concussed last week. Mm. Was it not clear
he didn't look right last
to
night.
Absolutely everyone that man should not have been playing last night? The mandatory one-week break for concussed players must be the first thing the commission brings
Let me ask you this.
And I'm not a doctor.
You're a Geelong man? And your team just wins a prelim final. Wayne Carey, centre-half forward, and he's been knocked out. What do you want? What does the club want? What do his teammates want?
I think we've gone past that, though.
I'll tell you the problem with this. I did a thing for Seven on concussion with Dr. Gary Zimmerman the other day. And he went through the whole thing through me. You know, 3-step process. They look at the video, have a look at the collision. They can work a little bit. Then they observe the patient. You know, they know him better than anyone. And finally, they do the tests, which is the minor part of it all. We've pumped the tests up to be the most significant part. The doc says they are the minor part. The most important part is observing the patient and knowing the patient as to who he is and what their history is, and
whether they've been knocked out before, all of those things come into account.
And the problem with concussion, I agree. I think it should be an automatic mandatory week or two off. But it's not like you can do a blood test or a neurological test and say conclusively you've had concussion of this severity. You are an 8 out of 10 on the concussion scale. there is none of that. It's just how are you feeling? How does the doc know you've
reacted? That's
right.
So does the player then still have a say in it? Is it completely taken out of your hands? Because
it depends how well
player,
he acts.
Depending on the player, if you said, and I don't know Steph Martin, but if you said, if the doc said to him, how are you? And you said, yep, no, I'm ready to go. I don't want to miss a game. And you categorically want to go BT. Do they take that into account? Or should they take that into account?
Yes, they do.
Because there are players that would put their hand up whether they've been knocked, you know.
It's all about the conversation with the doctor. Mm. And if the doctor senses the conversation is good and the patient is fine, then he'll let him play. However, the onus is on the player because the doctor can't get into his mind. Mm. And if you're stupid enough to say you're right when you're not quite right, then that is the onus is on you, the player.
Did you ever play a game when you knew you weren't quite right and you told a porky to the doc just to play?
Well, I did with other injuries, yeah. But not concussion.
Yeah, I reckon most blokes would do the same. Are you more worried about the look that it sends the public, Jay-Z, or are we doubting the integrity and the expertise of our doctors?
No, we're not. I just don't remember the last bloke who had a concussion and played well the next week. It just seems to be a recurring pattern to me that the coaches say, well, no, he struggled this week after a concussion. So I'm not doubting the doctors. They do a great job, but I just think to really protect our stars, they should just have 10 days off. You know, I just think it should be an absolute automatic thing.
Even if it meant missing a grand final?
Yeah, I think there's no more serious thing at the moment than concussion. And I just think last night you watched this gun guy just be totally off his game and you could have picked it a mile out.
And the thing to remember about this concussion thing is that we're at the elite level. We're at the pointy end of the action here. Mm. So the players know the doctors, right? And the doctors know the players really well. Imagine out there at suburban level or country level where they don't have a doctor at the game and the guy gets concussion and he gets carted off to hospital. To see some, doc in the hospital, he might be a junior, might be in his second, third, fourth year, he might be qualified, who knows. But he often doesn't know the patient. Mm. So all that doctor can say is, mate, I think you should have 4 weeks off, because he's got to cover himself. So there is no test. People need to get this in their head, that when anyone gets concussion, including the elite players, there is no definitive test that says you are gone.
That's great.
It is purely a relationship between the doctor and the concussed, and how that relationship is fostered in the days after the knock as to whether it's going to be any good or not. It's a tough one. Mickey Roberts is downstairs, and Robbo, we're going to cross down to you. I think you've got Aaron Hamill with you. Take it away.
Thanks, boys, and I have Aaron Hamill down here. Sammy, I tell you what, the Saints, when you look at it, they've been very competitive, probably one bad game. It's about time you turned up and won this one. This is a massive challenge.
Yeah, look, it certainly is. We knew the time was coming with GWS and certainly the talent. They were getting bullied sort of 5 years ago, but they've certainly matured as a group. Obviously, there's a lot spoken about their talent, but, they're number one team from stoppages, so that'll be a focus for us, obviously. But, we're back on us. We need a fair bit of reward for our effort. 1-4 certainly doesn't sit pretty with us. So, 2-3 sounds a lot better. So, if we bring the pressure and the intensity and probably our aggressive nature by with ball in hand, we think we're in certainly with a good shot.
I walked in, had a couple of chats with Revold and Armitage, and they've all been around. There's a real steely about them in conversation and also their look. But I hate to individualise. One of our mates, Danny Frawley, has just texted me through and said, what's the feathers stuff? What is that all about, Sammy?
It's unlike Spud not to get involved in anything, isn't it? But, I think Spud, I'm surprised if he's actually at the game today. He's more working on his reunion, isn't he? He's told us all about that. So I don't think he's taken any advice from any of his colleagues not to do it. But
any support for the reunion there, Aaron? Or what's
absolutely nothing, BT. Yeah,
so what would he contribute on a weekly basis there, Spud?
I'll tell you what he does, BT. He comes in for an hour and a half Tuesday and Thursday, turns the joint upside down and then pisses off. So he's he's a passionate bloke, as we all know, and he's working with a lot of our young defenders, Goddard, Tommy Lee. So he's all over them like a cheap suit, and he machine guns them a fair bit with the amount of vision and clips he shows them. But he flies in, mate, ruffles a nest and then gets out of there. But he certainly is a pest.
What's the group focus? We know individually everyone will have their own little focus that they've got to improve on, but the group, what's Alan saying to the group about where they need to get better?
Yeah, I think certainly with our ball use, particularly coming out of our D50 BT, we were pretty poor last week with that. We thought we made the right decisions, but our execution under pressure was pretty poor. So we gave Hawks 6 goals coming out of our D50, which obviously against the reigning premiership or against any team, they certainly make you pay. So our ball use has certainly been a focus throughout the week.
Aaron, it's Jay Clark here. Paddy McCartan's really taken some great strides in the past couple of weeks, but how have you seen the external pressure of focusing on him being a number one pick sort of affect him in the past season and a bit?
Yeah, none at all, Jay. He's such a modest sort of kid. He's he's an extremely hard worker, and his understanding of the game is increasing week by week. 3 contested marks last week against a couple of premiership defenders. Turned 20 during the week, so we're certainly mindful of the welfare of him. But you know, our expectations internally are certainly high. His expectations of himself are high, and you know, we just got to keep developing, keep reviewing his games. But we don't want to complicate it too much for him. He just loves competing, and that's really his foundation.
1-10 start today. Does that cause any issues for the group?
Nah, not really, BT. I think the guys have been around for long enough to adapt to any time.
All had their latte this morning.
I think a few of them might have, mate.
Yeah, and just moving along nicely. All right, well, we've seen Nick Riewoldt out here for his 4-hour compulsory warm-up. Doesn't he get tired?
No, I think he's actually backed off that a little bit, but he's still out here for a fair bit. I think he likes to get a few Ks and rev the engine up a bit, BT, before he gets going.
Appreciate your time.
Pleasure, boys.
Aaron Hamill from St Kilda joining us on Triple M Football. Travis Cloak, let's have a listen to what he had to say after completing the training session yesterday on his way when leaving the ground.
I guess it's my opportunity to go back, be part of the VFL squad and get a kick and see what goes from there. 13 years ago, I actually played my first game on Anzac Day, and I guess it's been 13 years since I played in VFL, so a bit of a... I guess trivia question will be later on in life. That's the only way you can look at it, I guess. If you're a bit bored, come down to Vic Park and have a look, have a bit of a cheer, and 2 o'clock kickoff, so it'll be good.
That's Trav Cloak there. Sounding quite upbeat about playing in the Rezzies.
A big tick to Trav Cloak. I think the way he handles himself, I'm one that I think I'm constructive when we're talking about him, and he hasn't been playing good footy, we all know that. But the way he handles himself and the way he fronts up, he's honest with himself. And I think a massive tick. And I'm one that thought that he should be playing tomorrow.
That's
in
great.
Anzac Day.
The
fact that what every Essendon supporter would be cheering that Trav Cloak's not playing. And it's not exactly like for like. Cox for Cloak.
Yeah.
I mean...
A guy that hasn't played a game.
I mean, it is... That I just... I'm in shock. I just can't believe they're doing it, BT.
And against a weaker opposition, a chance for him to find a little bit of form. And not only that, if you look at it in a slightly longer term, in the next month, other than West Coast Eagles, they've got 3 teams that they should be able to be very, very competitive and almost win against. So I would have thought it would have been a great month to get him back in business.
He should definitely be playing this week and have an opportunity, as you said. I totally agree.
Well, in Cox's defence, I mean, he's 211 centimetres. He took a couple of good marks on Harry Taylor against Geelong in the NAB Challenge Series, if you remember. He outbodied a very good defender. But he is primarily a ruckman. He's a ruckman,
key
forward.
So why bring in a ruckman for a key forward?
So Brodie Grundy hasn't been going that well in the ruck for the Pies. So he's going to provide a bit of support there. They do think he's a very good set shot on goal.
Is Leuenberger dominating?
Who's a good set shot?
Cox?
Yeah, but he's got to get it.
That's the issue.
Is Leuenberger dominating?
That's the issue.
I wouldn't have thought
no.
so.
He's been solid, Leuenberger. Yeah, so you think Buckley's made a mistake here, Duck?
I think massive mistake.
That's interesting. So what about Tony Shaw says that Collingwood should look at trading Travis Cloak. He's on $800,000 a year, as you said, contracted for one more year. Do you think Collingwood would dangle that carrot?
2 years too late.
At the end of the year?
2 years too late.
Should have got rid of him earlier.
Well, if they were going to do it, his currency, who would be lining up for Trav Cloak?
What do you got there, Brian?
I just had sent to me a thing that I don't agree with and endorse in any way.
Do you want someone else to read it out?
It's just a bit of fun, but it's a little unfair, I thought, on Travis.
All right.
But apparently this was on a tram or something, a guy Right. Read it on a tram. Yeah. Just sent it to me. Travis Cloak, $800,000 per season. So he's worked it out and gone and back-figured it.
Mm-hmm.
That's 360 kicks on last year. It's 6,500 per kick.
Nice.
263 marks. Mm. 9,500 per mark.
Even better.
78 goals. That's $30,000 per goal.
Ka-ching.
8 Brownlow votes, $300,000 per vote. And 1 dick pic. Value on nine. So that's his contribution. No, but that's what they're saying. I'm in Duck's corner here. I think he's handled himself superbly, and I think that he should actually be playing. I'm not sure what Collingwood gain out of not playing him.
No benefit.
And I'm not sure what he gains out of playing in the VFL.
I don't get it.
Is he under any pressure, Bucks, if they lose tomorrow, BT? The Pies? Duck?
Is he under any pressure?
Yep.
Well, it builds.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter. And Swatter, and that's not just because it's Nathan. That's any coach. Mm-hmm. That's any coach that, I guess, expectations were higher and they're not playing to that standard. They're leaking goals. They're either not getting the message, BT, or they're just, you know, the message is wrong.
Yep.
So if you're losing games, the pressure will always build. It doesn't matter who you are or who you're coaching.
Now, North Melbourne travelling along absolutely magnificently at the moment. 5-0, one of their stars and one of the stars of the competition, probably the best ruckman in the competition at the moment, Todd Goldstein, joins us on Triple M Footy. Goldie, welcome to you.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Just going very nicely for you at the moment. 5-0, a real challenging couple of weeks coming up. The Dogs and Adelaide, I think, in consecutive weeks for you.
Yeah, I think it's the Dogs and St Kilda.
Okay, then Adelaide.
But, the Dogs are flying at the moment. You know, you saw what they did to Brisbane up there, which is always a hard game. So they're obviously going really well, but you know, I think we're in a pretty good place at the moment, and you know, we just got to keep improving now.
Goldie, it's Jay Clark here, mate. Now, the Kangaroos usually, as you know, get off to a slow start and you're behind the eight ball at mid-season. But this year, you're off to a flyer. And Brad Scott said you actually changed your pre-season program to try and get things happening earlier on. Can you let us in on what a few of those slight tweaks may have been?
Yeah, we did a few more practice matches, and I think the last few years we've sort of got rid of the old intra-club games because it was sort of like dancing with your sister. You don't really want to go and in and hurt your teammates, and so we sort of gave away them, got rid of them, and
played against the real opposition.
We brought them back, and I think it gave the boys a good opportunity to get a bit more match hardened and get their routine set. So when it came to round one, we were ready to go and we were in the routine of it.
And your fitness, mate, it's been absolutely supreme. When you start the game, do you sort of think to yourself, well, this bloke has absolutely got no chance of keeping up with me today?
I feel a bit of man love going on here.
I think the ruckman these days are getting a lot fitter. So, it's, you know, in the past, I might have thought that way. But, you know, it is my real strength is to be able to work my opponent over. And, you know, I think I'm lucky enough that my teammates often get into the opposition ruckman and make it a little bit harder for him. But
who's the one that's easiest to work over, Goldie? Who's the who's the easy beat these days?
Well, I've only played four games. So I was really to make that call.
Hey, Toddy, you must be really thrilled with the form of Jared Waite early days this year.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all know what sort of talent Waite is, and you know, now he's had a really good last year and a half in terms of getting his body right. And you know, he hasn't hit anyone recently, which is always nice. So to have him on the ground and playing well, it gives us a great confidence. And I think you know the work that Drew Petrie does to help him out and to take away and one of their better defenders, I think that goes unnoticed. But you know, from the footy club point of view, we're wrapped with how Drew is going as well.
Goldie, you guys are undefeated, but there hasn't been a lot of commentary or rah-rah about you guys. Do you sort of feel you're getting the credit you deserve, or are you happy to just fly under the radar at the moment?
Oh, we're not playing our best footy. We know that we're doing enough to win games, and that's all we need to do. You know, what's said about us in the media, I think you don't worry about it too much. Things aren't usually going as well or as badly as reported in the media. So we're happy with how we're tracking. We know we've still got to find our best footy, but the most important thing was a good start because it makes it a lot easier in the back end of the season.
And Andrew Swallow's been a bit of a talking point at the moment because Ben Cunnington's going well and Jack Zeeble, but the skipper is playing probably a lesser role. How important is he to sort of that on-ball setup still under your feet?
Yeah, I think Spitter's obviously had a bit of a delayed pre-season, so he's probably taking a few weeks to fully get his confidence back and find his feet, but no, I think just in terms of his aggression in the contest, and I think he's still, I think he's still one of our leading defensive act players and leading tacklers in the team. So, that sort of thing, I think we work together as an on-ball unit. There's probably five or six blokes that come through there. And I think as long as we win the clearances, it doesn't really matter whether it's myself, whether it's Thieves, whether it's Cunners. I think we'll all get our turn. I think Andrew definitely had a much better game this week.
Goldie, I know you're the basketball guru down there, mate, and you still follow the game and you love it. Excuse me. You've been following. What do you think of Australia's chances at the Olympics this year with, you know, the starting five? They'll potentially have an NBA starting five.
Yeah, I definitely think it's an exciting time to be part of Australian basketball. I think, you know, who knows, we might be a sneaky medal chance. I think probably Australia's big hope is the following Olympics, I think.
Right.
Once a few of these younger guys get a few more years under their belt and you know, Ben Simmons will be hopefully up and running by then. So I think it's probably going to be the next Olympics where we have a real impact. But you know, it's definitely exciting. And you know, who knows, we could definitely give a number of teams a bit of a scare.
Goldie was heading down this path, you know, Jay-Z.
No, he was a gun. He was a gun, basketball. And so Cameron Joyce tapped on his shoulder and said, come play football, son.
Did you have a shootout with Goldie a while ago?
Oh, yeah, we played a bit of one-on-one and got it into
the bag. How did you go, Goldie? How did the old bloke with the dodgy knee go?
Oh, he got there, but I think for myself, I think the best thing I did for my basketball career was retire. I've got increasingly better as the years go on. I'm loving it.
Once I put the ball into the post, into the blender, I was just able to chew him up and spit him out.
Oh, please.
Into the blender. Get it into the blender.
It was an enjoyable half an hour, that's for sure.
It lasted that long, didn't it?
Goldie, just one more footy question if I can. How big was the transformation in Daniel Wells' body shape and his fitness from when you saw him at the end of last season to his first pre-season training? He dropped 7 kilos, really made a statement that he was ready to switch on and have a big pre-season.
Oh, it was massive. I mean, everyone, media, all of us, we all noticed, you know, the difference Wells came back in, and you know, the fact that he was able to get his body right last year, and you know, that took a while with a few complications, but you know, he really, you could tell he had a really big off season. He really made sure he watched his diet and made sure he did put the work in, because you know, when it came to day one, he was fit and firing, and you know, I think that's what most footy players want to do is start pre-season well and have that momentum take him into the season. And Daniel's definitely done that. And you know, we all know what a supreme talent he is. And it's just good he's starting to get reward for his work that he's put in the last 6 months.
Well done, Goldie. Appreciate your time. Keep up the good form. Thanks for joining us.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Todd Goldstein from North Melbourne, 5-0 at the moment, travelling absolutely beautifully. Jay-Z, before we let you go,
yes.
Game about to be upon us, fire off some news bullets at us.
We know Job Watson caught up with Johnny Worsfold last week before he heads off overseas. Future over his question mark. Cale Hooker is going to do the same thing next week. So the Anzac Day game on tomorrow, obviously, and then he flies off overseas and make a decision on his future while he's over there. Now, trouble brewing at Fremantle, guys. Now, we know Fremantle retain their players all the time, usually. However, Lachie Neal, hard-nut on-baller, and Chris Main, who's been an absolute mainstay of their forward line, really, and gone back, both out of contract, and the talk among clubland is that both those guys are gettable, especially Chris Main. So don't be surprised if we see him potentially in Victoria next year. On the trade talk, Carlton. So they were very aggressive in their trade movements. So last year, moved on Menzel, of course, which was a bit of a surprise. Now, Gibbs and Murphy is the big one, which is coming into focus. Gibbs, 27, Murphy, 28. Now, if they finish last and can get free agency or first-round compensation for one of Gibbs and Murphy, it will be very interesting to see if they can get a juicy trade pick to swap with one of them. Steph Martin, we touched on before, obviously. Clearly, we'll open that concussion debate right back up. And a tweak to the drug assessment, or really, the AFL have created a new panel, BT, of sort of specialist experts to determine whether AFL players' drug use is either A, one-off partying and risk-taking behaviour, or B, a serious mental issue. And that was where the previous policy struggled, because it was a sort of a one-size-fits-all penalty. But this is going to try and determine whether, one, you've got a serious mental problem, or two, it's just sort of a partying behaviour. And that will
Most of it will be number two. I reckon I could save them the money on that review.
I absolutely agree, Brian.
By the way, Duck, you were part of this, but some news coming through courtesy of Channel 7. Their biggest viewed game so far this year, Friday night footy, Hawks and the Crows.
national peak of 1.45 million people watching that game.
Brilliant.
What a beauty.
Well, it's funny you say that. I've had so many people over the weekend say that they were glued to the TV. They couldn't turn the game off on Friday night. Yep. I mean, that it was just a great game, wasn't it? It was. Yep. It had everything. It had toughness. It had quick, big, lots of goals and just two great teams, you know, doing their stuff.
And now time for the duck shoot.
This is Wayne Carey's duck shoot.
Oh, hang on, that's changed. That's now a machine gun.
Were they hard done by with the 50-50 umpiring decision in the last moment of the game, Isaac Smith?
Yes. They were. That was holding the ball.
Are North a genuine top four team?
I had them second this year.
Where do you sit on West Coast
now? So the answer is yes.
With another loss.
West Coast, always going to be tough against Sydney at the SCG. I'm still a believer in West Coast.
Christian Petrarca had another 26 possessions yesterday, Duck. Would you play him finally his AFL debut next week for Melbourne?
I really think it depends on how they play tonight. If they play really well, they might leave him another week. But my understanding is he rings Roosie and says,
I'm ready, coach.
I'm ready. So he'll be putting the pressure on to play, but they might give him one more.
20 mil of rain the other day.
Oh, no.
Anything pop up out of the volcanic rock at your farm?
I think I might have seen a bit of grass.
by the way, do you think Collingwood and the Bombers should have a monopoly on Anzac Day?
I never thought they should, BT, but it's gone too far now. They've made it their own. It always bemuses me when we sit down and we look at a player's, I guess, their achievement swatter, and they say they won 4 Anzac Day medals. Well, only 2 clubs were able to win Anzac medals.
Deledio playing tonight, straight into the senior side, first game, a quad problem. Yeah, any concern for his fitness tonight?
I don't think they'd take any risks given where they're at, Richmond. So he'll play forward, I would think, tonight. And he'll come out of the goal square.
Shut up! The footies on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.